Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Another hour of sports for you. Fan After Dark's getting locked and loaded. Fred and Blake are up here already throwing heat in the bullpen. They have an incredible show planned here coming up. The Fan After Dark, 7 to 11. We've probably got Cowboys crosstalk, though, don't we? 7 to 8 here on a Wednesday night on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 6:20, we're going to talk more hoop. Chiefs got a rim session packed in for you. It's time now to chat with... reporter Leah Asimakopoulos covers the Dallas Stars and the SMU Mustangs over there at the Morning News. And a good evening to you, Leah. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, thanks for joining us again. We're obviously very excited to hear about our hockey team and the college football team that's just a half mile up the road.
Yeah.
What's your take here on the Mustangs and what would happen in the event of a loss on Saturday?
Yeah, I think they're hoping that they don't have to get there and worry about that, because the college football playoff rankings yesterday and what happened in Miami definitely wasn't encouraging. I think obviously it's been a great year at SMU and everybody knows that. I think even the college football playoff committee knows that. But when you look at their schedule, their strength of schedule is an issue. They haven't beaten any teams that are, I think BYU, they lost BYU, so they haven't beaten any currently ranked teams right now. So that is kind of an issue, and strength of schedule matters so much to the playoff committee. So, you know, obviously a win they're in, that takes care of things. But if they lose to this one ranked opportunity that they have against Clemson right now, I think that that will make it interesting. I believe they've done enough to still secure their spot in the playoff, but, you know, it's up against Alabama, and we know how much the committee loves them. So it's probably going to be close, and they're going to have to play well regardless on Saturday.
2.5-point favorite. Do you like them to win? Are you picking them to win?
I am picking them to win. I mean, it's tough, and I could see it go either way, because, I do think that they've a lot of the teams they've played this year have been much easier than Clemson. Obviously, Clemson is a historic program, a blue blood for a reason, but they're not the same team that they've been in previous years. So I think that SMU, you know, is right to be favored. I think SMU's defense has obviously been so strong this year and can carry them through, but, you know, Clemson's great in terms of turnover margin. That's kind of hurt SMU in some games this year in their Duke game, which was a really close one they almost lost. So it's going to come down to little things like that, but yeah, I'm still going to pick them.
Leah, do you think the fact that here at SMU now in the ACC and this game is being played in Charlotte, is this the big disadvantage for SMU? I mean, SMU can compete with Clemson, no doubt, but could there be really could this be like a home game for Clemson?
Yeah, we actually asked about that this week, because it probably will be majority Clemson fans, just based on what their fan base looks like, based on the size of their school, and, of course, being so close to where their home is. But it's kind of interesting, because SMU's been in that situation a lot recently. Yeah. They played the AAC championship away at Tulane last year, which was a road environment. They played the Fenway Bowl against Boston College in Boston. So, and they've been one of the best road teams in the country. They've won 10 straight road games, which is an FBS record. So I think, you know, they're equipped to handle it, but it's a little unfortunate that this neutral site game is not quite a neutral site, but I guess that's conference realignment for you.
How did SMU fare on National Signing Day today? And we were kicking that around, Leo, like with the transfer portal and everything, is Signing Day as big as it once was?
I think yes and no. It's weird that Signing Day was so early this year. Obviously, there's a lot of other things on their mind, but it was the best class SMU's ever brought in, and kind of obvious why, and the success they've had this year. You know, Rhett Lashley is a coach that a lot of players want to play for right now, especially locally in DFW. They've brought in a lot of local Texas recruits, DFW recruits. They've really, you know, excelled in that area. But yeah, the transfer portal was probably the thing that helped them the most going into the season, especially adding so many key transfers on the offensive and defensive lines. So I think sometimes now maybe that becomes a little more important, at least in the immediate future. But of course, SMU has a lot of homegrown guys, quarterback Kevin Jennings included, that are going to help them in years down the line. So signing day still, of course, carries a lot of weight, and they had a good day overall.
Yeah, what is the college football world getting when they see Kevin Jennings being unveiled for many people probably for one of the first times?
I mean, he's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks that I've seen play at the high school and in college level. Every week we watch him, it looks like he's going to get sacked three different times, and then he throws some perfectly placed touchdown pass to one of eight different receivers that somehow manages to spread the ball around so well, and he can run. So, you know, he's improved a lot. I think that that's a part of SMU's kind of story this season that is overlooked a little bit. You know, their first three games where they struggled, their one loss to BYU, he wasn't the starter. He's undefeated as the starter this year. So since he's been in charge, it's been, you know, pretty perfect for them, and I think it's going to be, you know, a good opportunity for him to show what he can do against a team like Clemson.
I did want to ask about our Dallas Stars, and we got the sad news about Tyler Seguin today, which was devastating. I mean, he's been on the best line in the NHL with Marchman and Duchesne. And for those that didn't up to date on what happened with Tyler Seguin, if you could let us know your thoughts on that situation, and then where can the Stars go from here? Could this maybe be a benefit financially, and they can do something like we've seen the Tampa Bay Lightning do with the salary cap?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So Tyler Seguin is having hip surgery. There was a little bit of a lingering issue. They thought it was going to be something they could take care of in the off season, but it just got worse, and he was placed on IR on Sunday, and then, you know, now he's out for 4 to 6 months with the surgery. So he may return at the very end of the regular season, maybe the playoffs, maybe not at all this year. And yeah, as you said, it is pretty devastating. I think, you know, of course, it's not a good thing for the Stars. As you mentioned, he's been playing on the best line in hockey right now, and they've been so good, and they've really been the only line that's been consistent for the Stars. So you take out a key piece of that, and he's averaging over a point per game so far this year. It's going to be, you know, tough to see where they go from there, who replaces him on that line, and if Mason Marchman and Matt Duchesne can kind of keep that production up without him. But yes, I think, you know, that frees up over $9 million in cap space once they eventually put him on long-term injured reserve. So yes, they can make some moves to bring in someone, and, you know, maybe that's a forward, maybe that's addressing some of the defensive issues they have. You know, they do have a lot of young talent still in terms of guys in the AHL that they've been bringing up and down throughout the season. So we'll see, but it's kind of been the story of the season. They just need more people to start stepping up who haven't quite yet. And, you know, Pete DeBoer said today, someone's misfortune is another person's opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it feels like the time for someone to take advantage of that.
It's Leah Asimakopoulos here, Morning News, talking Dallas Stars. How is the trade market shaping up at this point in the season? Are there big names we can hope for, or is it role player type of guys? What do you think?
I mean, I really haven't looked into it too much. It's so early in the season. We don't see a lot of trades this time of year. So I'm not even sure who's really on the market right now. But, you know, there's always an opportunity, especially when you have over $9 million in salary cap space available. So, yeah, I think Jim Nill has been great for the Stars. He's really found the right pieces for them a lot, especially in these recent years here. So they're going to try to take advantage of that opportunity and, you know, hopefully can find someone to score some points, because that's really what they need right now.
What can you tell us about this Four Nations face-off? I saw the rosters were announced. Otter's going to be one of the goalies representing Team USA. But when is this going down, and is this are the NHL players into this?
Yeah, so it's basically in place of the All-Star break this year. It's kind of a way the NHL is trying to prepare for the Olympics. So NHL players are going to get to play in the 2026 Olympics, which hasn't happened for a few Olympics now. So it's a best-on-best tournament between the U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland. So there's four Stars that made teams, Otter, and then the three Finns, Miro, Essa, and Rube, all made Team Finland. So, certain players are really excited about it. I think, like, you know, the Finns are obviously, after going to Finland, were really excited about that opportunity, and now kind of getting to compete with, you know, some of the other people from their country against some of their teammates. Pete DeBoer and his assistant, Misha Donskov, are also both involved in Team Canada. So it'll be kind of cool to see them play against each other. And, you know, Jake Ottinger talked a little bit about it this weekend, about how excited he was for the opportunity if he were given a chance, and he made the team today. So, this is kind of his introduction into the international hockey space, and he wants a spot on that Olympic roster. So this is a pretty good opportunity for him to show what he can do.
Hey, Leah, kind of piggybacking on what Zach asked you, I know the Winter Classic, and I was able to attend the one in the Cotton Bowl this year. I'm kind of curious, somebody that covers hockey like you do, is there a Winter Classic one that you would like to go to? It doesn't have to be the Stars, but is there a venue that you would love to see a Winter Classic game in?
That's a great question. I have to think about that. I mean, I've never been to a Winter Classic before.
They're
I would
a blast.
Love to go to one.
They're absolute blast. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't here in Dallas when it happened, so I would love for them to come back here at some point. But
yeah.
I'll have to think on that and let you know, because I think they're one of the coolest things they do in hockey. I love the outdoor game opportunity. It's just awesome. So it would be very cool for the Stars to get to be a part of that again. I hope in my time covering the team they will be.
I know the one with the Blackhawks and the Blues is at Wrigley Field. Would you rather do a Canadian one or a U.S. one? I'd like to go. I know Edmonton or one of those places, but it would just be brutally cold. But I used to work with the Green Bay Packers, so I think I would bundle up and be okay. But I'd love to see one of those kind of games.
Yeah, well, the Wrigley Field one would be very cool. I went to college in Chicago, so I would love to be able to be there for that. But after going and covering the playoff series in Edmonton, like the Canadian crowds, the culture for hockey there, it's unmatched. So my goal is to spend a lot more time watching hockey in Canada, whether it's indoors or outdoors or wherever it is. So I don't think you can really beat that.
I know we're a little removed from the trip to Finland now, but what was that experience like?
Oh, it was incredible. It was, I mean, the hockey wasn't great. They did not play so well. And I think that kind of left a sour taste in a lot of their mouths, like leaving everyone except for the Finns, because that was, you know, a trip they're never going to forget. But really cool for me. I got to spend a lot of time with all three of the Finns and kind of go to their hometowns and experience some of their favorite places and foods and things like that. And, you know, getting to see just the crowds and the Stars fans there, like there is a real fan base of fans in Finland, which is so random. Dallas, Texas to Finland, like you'd never think that, but they really love their hockey like we love our football here. So it was very cool to be a part of. And, you know, all three of those players, you could tell it really changed their careers, and it was just an opportunity they're never going to forget. So we're all really happy for them to get that.
Fantastic work, Leah. Thank you for joining us once again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Leah Assimacopoulos, Morning News. Very busy covering the Stars and SMU, and very exciting times to be had. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see what Jim Nill's going to be able to pull off, you know, as they try to get this thing done, and just devastating there for Tyler Seguin. Okay, more headlines are coming out from Dak's conference call with Yahoo yesterday. There's one, he was asked, you know, who's the top contender in the NFC, and he picked the Lions, who just housed the Cowboys in week six. And I think everybody is along those lines right now, although I won't be surprised if they get got at some point. Like the pass rusher that they lost, the fact that Jared Goff is their quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose. I don't think they're a formidable favorite, but definitely agree with that. But the other thing is they're showing video of this call now, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like reading facial expressions and wondering if somebody's telling the truth and trying to determine how comfortable they are?
I'm terrible at doing that, and I know there's people that really do believe in the body language and being able to read people and stuff like that. I'm not very good at doing that. I've sat across the table from people that I thought were lying to me.
Yeah.
You know?
You got a sixth sense.
I did it in recruiting.
Okay.
You know, I learned that in recruiting.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Is what I did.
Well, last night when you were talking about it, I hadn't seen the video. Maybe you had.
Yeah.
But after watching the video, I just don't think he's speaking with much conviction as he's talking about how much he likes Mike McCarthy. Like, the look on his face is one of uncomfortable, and I'm searching for words right now. You know? You know, we'll see. I think it's the most interesting thing with the Cowboys right now, like who's going to be their next coach and you know, what number of wins would it take to make it a legitimate possibility. And there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. But you're getting Diggs back, Zach Martin back. I think this is you restart the season right now, guys. I think this is a 500 football team.
With Cooper Rush at quarterback?
I don't think they score enough points. That's my problem right now. I worry about Cooper Rush being able to, like, you know, we see what happens. These teams have trying to make him, like, long drive this thing, you know? And him having to take a team on a long drive, you know, something, they're counting on some kind of mistake, a bad throw, a fumbled snap, You know, they're
and these are against bad defenses too.
Yeah,
like when you played a good defense in Philadelphia, you could do nothing. Even when they gave you the ball inside your own 5 yard line, the Commanders defense is terrible, and it's a divisional game, and weird things kind of can happen in some of those games. And that wasn't your offense at all that was helping you. It was just the Giants.
Guy went 4-1 with no Tyron Smith, giving the ball to Zeke a bunch of times.
Oh no,
you know, I
Kellen Moore's your OC. I do think they're struggling with Mike as the primary play caller. I think they need to do more, and they're not.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
The offense is bad.
That's where, I mean, Eric talks about what they do in Green Bay, you know, when Willis becomes the quarterback. Well, they S-can the real offense and bring in the college offense.
Let's run the football.
Yeah, they do things to try and manipulate and make it work, and I just don't think they help Cooper Rush enough with that kind of stuff.
No, they didn't, but we do have precedent set that the Cowboys could just give him an OC. You know, they just gave him Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
So, you know, why wouldn't the Cowboys think, well, we really like all the head coach stuff you're doing, we're going to find you a different OC, and they'll probably mess it up.
But, I wonder if Mike would allow, I mean, could
yeah,
Mike...
Yeah, he might just say, forget it then.
Could Mike just say, listen, if you're going to do that, you know, you've already got rid of my offensive line coach. You know, you've already got rid of, you know, they got rid of coaches, some of the coaches on his staff. And, you know, and then, okay, Mike Solario, okay, that's who you want me to coach? That's who you want my offensive line coach to be?
Yeah, they're plugging guys in for him.
That's what I'm saying, though.
This isn't a big pivot for Mike to be like, okay, he said when he took the job, my family needs football.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's willing to sacrifice. There's no guarantee somebody else is going to want you. No, if you're not ready to retire.
That whole structure, though, is the mess with this franchise.
Yeah.
The head coach should be able to set their staff and have their staff how they want.
Mike said today he has a lot of say in personnel. Did you see that today?
More so than in Green Bay.
More so than Green Bay.
We know that. Yeah. I mean, we've seen the influence that even coordinators can have when it comes to who they draft.
I know we've talked about that a bunch. I mean, if you want to start to talk about the way the roster's set up, Mike McCarthy's got a hand in this, too. Mm-hmm. If you guys feel like that the roster building and team building is going not the perfect direction, yeah, Jerry Jones, big hand in that. Buck stops there. Mike McCarthy's part of the triangle. He's one of the corners of the triangle.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of feel like, though, that, you know, he if it doesn't end well for him, he's really got nobody to blame but himself.
Absolutely. He tried to make this team tough, and he failed for five years.
He tried to do the team building part of it, and then he just insisted that he had to be the primary play caller when things weren't going great. He was not willing to try and do something
Could
different.
That be because it's his final year? I'm going to go out my way.
I absolutely could be. Yeah. But you'd also like to think about maybe that you want to try and save your gig.
Sure.
You know, if maybe somebody's got a little bit different idea about how we need to do this.
It's hard to tell. You know, he's obviously a pro and he's been around. He could be playing his hand very close to his vest, and he might be exhausted like Parcells was. Like, I'm tapping out.
Yeah. That's why I asked the question, if does he even want to be here?
Okay. I know we want to get to some more basketball talk. People are excited about this Mavericks run now. Chief, where are we heading?
Yeah, man, the Mavs got the goods, and we got some injury updates for some big stars next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, let's talk some hoop. Basketball team on fire. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit franklefirm.com. And here's the chief.
Hey, did anybody get scammed today by the Hawktua meme coin thing or whatever that was going on? Did you guys see that?
Did she go full, like, Taylor Mathis here?
Talk about the scams from earlier, Lucius. Man. I think that one's been bad.
Really? Is the Hawktua coin or something? Everybody jumped on the Hawktua coin?
Yeah, she'd been
and
like...
they got swallowed up?
Yes, dude. It's trending on Twitter right now. I'm like, what is going on? And apparently... She had been promoting this thing.
Ouch.
And it was...
Oh, you gotta give him that Hawktua.
She did like a video of like, it's live. It was like the Hawk coin or whatever. And then it gets community noted. It says 96% of the token supply has been sniped and is slowly being sold on the community. Buying this highly speculative coin might result in loss, and high due diligence is recommended. So I think it was one of those things where, like, if you put in, let's say, $10,000 on it, you now have 2 cents.
Oh, no. Fun.
So I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Jeez. So this thing, the token got as high as $500 million and then it crashed to below 60 million in just 20 minutes.
So we don't have the capacity.
Oof. That's hilarious, dude.
I might cop me a bag right here if it's hers.
Yeah?
Not financial advice. Do your own research.
There you go.
Hit the like and the sub.
Buy low. And then the other thing that we didn't get to yesterday, but like the OJ stuff, his security guard has potential audio tapes of him admitting to the murders. That's fascinating. Apparently the police have it and they're doing their...
They're listening through.
Yeah, they're listening through to see the legitimacy.
I hope this gets released. I want to hear this.
This could be an AI thing.
Oh, that's a good point. You can't be too careful.
Is there an update to that? Did they check already? I think they checked and found out dude was capping.
Oh, he was lying.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
He was
looking for some clout. Got butt cracked.
No, it's not a butt crack.
No. It's a real thing. This happened. TMZ ran with it.
It's a real thing.
You know, it's true.
But I have not seen an update on it. So I thought these tapes were like being overseen right now by the powers that be to confirm the legitimacy. But maybe that was a quick one for them and they could tell this is some bull. Yeah, I mean, because I get it. If you're the security guard, this is like, who knows, one last opportunity to cash in maybe on something.
Yeah, no murder confessions found in recording seized from OJ's. Dude was capping for the timeline, bro. Charging for interviews. I get 10K. Come talk to you about these tapes.
Yeah, seriously, dude. He didn't even get 15 minutes of fame. That's like 15 seconds worth. Dang it. I thought we were going to get like a whole... I thought OJ had maybe like... had something stashed and he had this whole audio
talking
like documentary of like, okay, this is the real truth.
Got drunk one night at this little bar at the house, started talking, so I pressed record.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess that's
then
not the case.
Then he put his arm up and I stuck him right there.
All right now, I believe.
That was too real, Lucius.
That's what he says.
So good.
She could get in real trouble for this. She just posted an hour ago that it was just snipers and the team hasn't sold anything, but people are tracking the wallets and the team and insiders were selling. So that's fraud at that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole thing went down with that sports betting girl, Taylor Mathis. She got hired, I think it was, by BetMGM or one of these sites. And then this same thing happened to her, lost her job, everything, boom, gone. So, yeah, maybe Haley Welch will get herself in some trouble here.
Oh my gosh! What a turn! That'd be crazy.
I mean, pro athletes are being sued as part of the promotions in 2021. Kim Kardashian, like this is a road traveled. Yeah, you got to be really careful.
Damn. All right, let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed, and the G Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim.
Rain dance.
It's always a special occasion when the Mavericks can erase a 14-point fourth quarter deficit, beat the Grizzlies on a night where they have 25 turnovers and they miss 14 free throws. But, man, thank God for the free throws that they were able to get in that fourth quarter where it was just foul after foul after foul after foul. But that third quarter was as bad of a quarter as you could ever imagine seeing. I've never seen a turnover fest quite like that. And in the third quarter, they scored 22 points, 10 turnovers, 7 fouls, 0-for from the three-point line. And Memphis had gone 5 of 9 from the three-point line in that quarter. It was pretty crazy. It's funny because you know who the referee was last night for the game?
Who was it? Tony Brothers.
Ben Taylor.
Okay. Uh-oh. Sounds like a golf name.
Ben Taylor.
Ben's got a beef with somebody. Who's he got a beef with?
Let's check in with Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah.
Ben Taylor was f***ing terrible tonight.
Yeah.
That was just a little excerpt from his 60-second rant against Ben Taylor last season. And so I'm sure Grizzlies fans are feeling a similar way right now. But even Kyrie, after the game, he's going through the tunnel. He's hyped up. They had just won the game. And he just shouts out, "I ain't never turned the ball over 25 times and still got the bleeping dub, dog. What the bleep?" And I mean, you really can't argue with anything you said right there. The fact that they were able to win that game last night, beating the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are a good team, man.
They have a 6-on-5, too.
John Morant's talking about not dunking anymore.
Yep.
No, his play style has changed to being more of a distributor. I think he's trying to lower the usage rate and
stay healthy.
The wear and tear.
Yeah,
I mean, he is incredible as his ability to fling himself at the rim. Maybe second only to Westbrook in like the last 15 years. But yeah, he's got to stay healthy. And the
Derrick Rose, too.
Yeah,
he was explosive.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But you know, he has a much better point guard game to him than he has shown so far in the NBA. You go back to his college days, he was like 10 points per game, handing out 12 assists and stuff. So he can be that floor general more than the Showtime guy of maybe Westbrook.
Yeah, and he's got the mid-range game as well. Yeah. And, I mean, I totally get preserving yourself there. I mean, you're super vulnerable every time you go up in the sky like that, especially at that size.
Yeah,
and then sometimes you don't even get the foul call, and you're like, gosh, dude, was that even worth it? No, probably not.
He's got enough highlights to last a lifetime already.
Yeah, dude, he's already established himself as being an incredible dunker. And, and now that he's got a little bit more of a team that can really shoot the ball around him, I mean, that's pretty solid depth there to that Grizzlies team right now. So that affords him the ability to say, like, yeah, I don't have to just shoulder the scoring load night after night. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is hitting you with 25, and they're shooting the lights out of the three ball right now. Really great win for the Mavs last night. Awesome to see Luka just return to dominance. PJ Washington, I mean, he's just turning into a winning player.
Mm-hmm.
And Absolutely. Whatever, like, what the night calls for, he's up to the challenge.
Yeah, he's not just good. I think he's a great role player. Like, this is the kind of guy that wins championships because of his defensive versatility. He can bring it up the court. Obviously, the corner three ball is great for him. But, yeah, I think the day they traded for P.J. Washington, everything about how they match up, especially in the postseason, changed massively.
Yeah, it's huge. And then you add guys like Derek Lively and what they're bringing to the table and how impressive he was last night. I thought he exploded his shoulder on that one play, and it was like, oh, my gosh, are we really going to do this again? No. He's so active, almost too active sometimes going for blocks that it's like maybe you need to chill a little bit. But he was fine, got back up, and was absolutely fantastic in the game. Dinwiddie with some clutch shots. So overall, incredible win for the Mavs last night. And now they'll be in the Cup. Heck, they were Mavs 11 seed in the West just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now they're the 3 seed. And they're top 5 in efficiency offensively, top 10 in defense. They're rocking and rolling right now, man. It's a very, very exciting time.
They get that championship stride about them. I think they will not fall out of the bottom 4 rest of the season. I did pick wire-to-wire first place at the start, and at 5-7, I was like, holy cow, what are we looking at? But I'm full of Mavericks optimism right now. This is what I wanted, you know, a full season of greatness. Not just the Rangers limping into the playoffs and winning, right? But you're looking at your team, and you get to celebrate it for months and months and months and build to this, apex in spring.
Father Time is starting to make an appearance in LeBron James's life, and the Lakers are suffering for it in a big way. They're struggling. We'll hear from an angry J.J. Redick here in a second. But, like, the other night, it was, I mean, really, really bad stuff versus Minnesota. This dude, LeBron, 0 of 19 from deep over the last 4 games, 4 of 16 from the floor overall with 6 of his team's 20 turnovers, season low 10 points against the T-Wolves. And, just offensively, this is 22 points per game. That's the lowest since his rookie year. He made 25% of his attempts from the floor on Monday. That's the 6th straight game shooting below 45%. It's his longest streak of games below 45% since 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hitting him in a big way, and frustrations are high right now. Here's an example from a little in-game interview with J.J. Redick a couple of games ago.
JJ, I'm sure you'd like to end the half on a corner three like that.
Our end of quarter execution has been so bad the last 3 games. So bad.
What stood out the most to you?
Our defense was awesome in the first half. It really was. I thought our physicality was great. I thought our cover mentality was great, helping each other. We've got to be a little bit better with our closeouts.
All right. Thanks, JJ.
The offense is has been really, really bad. And J.J. Redick is funny because he is just like angry video game kid kind of coach. Like, he is just ticked. He has no interest in losing ever, and he wears it all over his face. And I think there's going to be a lot of losing going on here moving forward for the Lakers.
Yeah. I think regular season LeBron's going to settle for a lot of jump shots. Rookie coach J.J. Redick, there's just so much anxiety and energy building up for these games that I don't know if he'll ever be a relaxed coach, but this is like reminding me of Tony Romo's rookie year broadcasting with how much word and energy is coming out of his voice.
The Sixers are still hilarious. Now, they end up beating the Hornets last night. They improve now to 5-14 on the season.
Woo!
They play again tonight. The Orlando Magic are in town. How cheap of a ticket do you think you can get for tonight's game, Sixers and Magic? How low can you go?
Okay, this is Philadelphia?
To get in the building.
Orlando's yeah. a
okay,
good
when
team,
we were
though, right?
When we were at the Army-Navy game like 9 years ago, we watched the Army-Navy, and then we're like, what do we do now? Let's go to the basketball game. I think we paid $12 a ticket and sat
what?
Lower bowl.
Okay. Oh, wow. I was going to say 25. Maybe I should go lower.
How about, man, if these guys are talking that way, $16?
Yeah, you can get in the building tonight for one single American dollar.
What? $1?
One single dollar will Jeez. Get you in the building tonight to watch the 76ers.
Wow.
It's a bad situation.
Jeez. Yeah, we sat right behind Evan Turner's family.
Did you
awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have the same voices as him? He's got one of the most
interesting
voices of all time. He's got like a little Andrew Luck to him.
Pituitary
kind of problem.
I can't put my finger on it.
Shout out to Andrew Luck. He's the GM now of Stanford.
Stanford.
He's the what?
The general
GM.
Manager.
Yeah.
What does that even
he's running,
GM?
He's running. He's like an NFL GM of the Stanford football program.
We have GMs?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
We've had this conversation.
Yep.
Last couple of years.
We have GMs in college football?
Yeah. We do. Mm-hmm.
They have to now. Like the portal.
Yeah, that's what Woj left to do at St. Bonnie's,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yes. I didn't know about
that's
this.
That's a blind spot for me.
Yeah.
I had no idea we had who's the general manager for Texas right now? I mean, it's like recruiting coordinators, but they're getting a general manager.
Yeah, but it's like director of player personnel.
He's team builder guy. Football.
Brandon
Harris.
Czar of football operations. Andrew Luck. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. Well, the Sixers do have a good rookie. The dude from Duke, Jared McCain.
Oh yeah,
he's the TikTok guy.
Yeah,
and. He's like the zesty king of the sport right now.
He's the zesty king.
Shane Gillis is a comedian, super funny, and he's a Philadelphia guy. So he was on a podcast talking about Jared McCain, how much he loves him.
There's a bro I like right now.
Who?
His anima is fully liberated.
What?
Jared McCain for the Sixers. He's the guy doing the TikTok dances.
Oh, yeah.
His
anima
is out. He does not care. He's feminine, dude. He's hitting. He's dropping 30 and doing TikToks. Everyone's mad, dude.
Painting his nails and
I'm 3 days into college and I'm 2 lectures behind.
Can you show me this guy?
I love this dude so much.
It's so nice to
DM him. He doesn't answer. I get drunk and DM him. You're the man.
He's not returning Shane Gillis' DM.
Unbelievable.
Dude,
Shane Gillis
crazy.
Is a hot ticket right now.
Dude. He's coming to the AAC in January.
Sure is. I'm probably going to go.
I'm going to put my butt in a seat there for that one. I am. Hey, Kevin Durant's butt's going to be in a seat on the bench.
Ankle, huh?
For the next week. Left ankle sprain. And the Zion stuff, Shams is like, yeah, that hamstring. And we're not gonna redo the broadest fat shaming joke on the Zion hamstring, but the one that we talked about weeks ago has apparently gotten no better in the interim since we've last discussed it. So that's certainly problematic for the Pelicans, who are an absolute disaster, and Brandon Ingram wants out.
Let's get Brandon Ingram.
Does that mean the chefs aren't lining up to try and cook for him anymore?
No, I think they are. They're just coming to him now because
they realize
really
they can get money now. Yeah,
Ingram's doable, isn't it? Couple of ones, Hardy.
He's in the last year. I think he's making $36
expiring
million
contracts.
Yeah.
Whew. And he's a great player.
And I want Klay Thompson, anybody?
Yes. Okay, we got a. We'll cross with the Fan After Dark. Cowboys Crosstalk is coming up at 7 o'clock. Charles Haley tonight's guest, the Hall of Famer.
You ready?
Let's go.
How many Super Bowl rings? 3, 2, 4? 5. He's got a lot. Five? Yeah. 5 rings. Mr. Five Rings himself, Charles Haley, coming up with Bob Belt there, top of the hour, and we're back to Crosstalk here in the Nation. Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. Cowboys Crosstalk coming up 7 to 8. Charles Haley going to be the guest. I looked into that Hawk Tua coin because you said it crashed. I saw a guy that invested $35,000 today, and it's down to $2,000. So that sucks for him, and it sucks for a lot of people. But I saw seven accounts still hold over 50% of those tokens, so that is just a... That's a massive scam waiting to happen still, so I did not buy. But I wanted to follow up on that because I said I might consider it. But, yeah, it's tough. A lot of people losing probably tens of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars here. It shot up to $500 million of value. Okay, we're now set to hear to chat with Blake as Fred's doing his high school football show tonight, right?
He is. Still got this one and I believe two more, and then the mythical high school show will be vanished into the vapors.
All right, so what do you guys have planned tonight?
A beautiful show as always. We're only going to have 3 hours because of Cowboys Crosstalk at 7:20. We're going to talk to the boss, the hockey hawk, Gavin Spittle. Talk nice. A little bit of Dallas Stars are on a 3-game win streak, looking to make it forward tonight versus the LA Kings. So that'll be fun to talk all things Stars with him. And then at 9 o'clock, we had him on about 2 weeks ago. A good friend, UNT grad as well, Connor Hibbett. Going to be talking all things college football, talking about the college football playoffs, talking about what these games mean this weekend. So breaking down all the good sports today, of course. And then at 9:40, because of the shortened show, we will be doing haikus.
Give our, nice.
Oh, yeah, the hump day haiku.
More of a limerick guy myself, but I like haiku.
Yep. So I heard, I think we talked about this off air, but Thursday, which is tomorrow, that's the day that comes after Wednesday, we will be doing Extra Credit, which is a new segment that I've been working on.
There you go.
Show my scholastic, what was the words we said? Not upbringing.
Competency.
That's a great word. That's a bell ringer.
Cachet.
That's another one. We ring the bell during our show when big words are said.
Okay.
So on Thursday, every Thursday moving forward, it'll be either a spelling bee, a geography quiz, different idioms and adages that I'm giving the origin of, and we're kind of learning as a group. So it's just going to be a fun time on the Fan After Dark, and today will be no different.
I heard you guys ring it twice if you even use a big word in the right context, which doesn't happen often.
So in context is two. Just saying the big word correctly is one. Now, Fred likes to throw them around, like he knows what he's saying with them. So yeah, I'll be honest. I'd be like, I don't know what that word means. Explain it to me. And then Fred will do the, come on. You don't think I know what it means?
You got a Webster's Dictionary?
You know what this is, Lucius? This is that slow Jeff shtick. And it's genius.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, I see what he's doing over here.
Yes.
I see what he's doing.
What'd you guys think of...
Who's Jeff Stick?
What?
Slow Jeff?
It's Slow Jeff Stick.
But who's Stick. Jeff Stick?
It's... his name's Jeff.
See, there he is.
My name's Jeff.
Okay, so Jake Paul shot his shot at that ring girl and got shot down. I dug into that story.
Wait.
No, it was Zion.
Zion Williamson.
Oh, Zion.
I was about to say, we got more to go through if it was Jake.
Yeah, Jake Paul, I think, is
that'd be funny because he brought his girl to the fight, and then he starts shooting shots with the
ring girl. Oh, that was his
girl.
That's how Jake Paul was involved?
Yeah, it was just the ring girl, or Sydney one Thomas. Of the ring girls. Yeah, she's gone like super viral since the fight.
Okay.
And then apparently Zion DM'd her and then just like tweeted at her like, hey, check your DMs. And okay. She responded pretty savagely.
Yeah, she said, don't be calling me shoddy, and then hit him with the get back to your recovery. Hope your recovery is going well.
Oh, that is hilarious.
That was her boyfriend.
Well, she said she just broke up with her boyfriend and she's like on a mission for real love, yeah. You know, and she wants a man that's respectful. So I don't know. So she's
shut up, bitch.
She just wants to be alone and work on herself.
It's tough when
she's blowing up.
When you blow up that fast, because she was, for all the people at home who are wondering who we're referring to, when the Tyson fight was going on, she was the main girl in camera frame when they were doing the post game interviews.
Great abs.
X
cameraman was going to work too,
X
bro.
Marks the spot, if you know.
They named that breast soccer breast team was actually named
yes.
after her.
Yes, oh,
wow.
Yeah, they've been asking recruitment for her.
I mean, she sounds very wholesome. I guess I just didn't think that ring girls were that wholesome. But I guess, you know, I shouldn't judge. You know, they gotta get paid too, and that's good money for standing around.
You can find wholesome people in every work of life.
You can. All right.
Every work of life. <There you go.
laughs> Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup. At Master Control here at 75 and Fitzhugh. Just win another 5 flawless there producing. Hosting and engineering, coordinating your video as well. Thanks to Carter Freeman. Speaking of that, you can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Have Cowboys Crosstalk coming up here at the top of the hour, then the Fan After Dark with Blake and Fred, who will arrive after his high school football show here. That's coming up for you from 8 to 11. Of course, thanks to Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk, your nosebleed brothers, rocking the house for us every afternoon here, 2 to 7 in the G-Bag Nation. And Brian Broz, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive, Krusty's Corner tomorrow, 3:40, previewing that Bengals defense. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation at ease.